And Ken and choir for the music. Take your Bibles. Turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll begin reading at verse 46 and read through the conclusion of that chapter. Out of respect for the reading of God's Word, I would ask you to please stand if you are able. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he's calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to see." That's literally what he said, "I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Bow with me in prayer. Father, I pray that you would take this beautiful little story and help us to apply it to our situation today so that those who are blinded by sin might see Jesus clearly and respond to his claim for on their lives today for salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Every 5 seconds, one person in the world goes blind. Yet 80% of the world's blindness is avoidable. Age-related blindness, which we know most frequently as cataracts, is the world's most frequent form of curable blindness. There are some 7.3 million people in America who are legally blind. Can you imagine how difficult life would be with someone who lives in a darkened world with little appreciation by those of us who have eyesight? Sometimes we tend to just overlook how wonderful it is just to be able to see. Bartimaeus evidently was born blind. Can you imagine a person giving thanks for blindness? We'll see how he gave thanks for blindness in a little bit. I've known one individual, I've known several people who were blind, but no one individual. Lisa, she was a member of Coach Baptist. You've heard me tell her story before, how through a tremendous episode she had with Crohn's disease, she almost died, and as a result, her blood pressure dropped so low it damaged her optic nerve. And a month later, when she finally regained consciousness, she was blind. And I'll never forget the day that she came back to church. She and her husband Lee came forward, and she told me then at the altar, "Pastor, I don't like being blind, but if God can use this to bring honor and glory to him and can use me to help people, then I'll accept it." That's exactly what she did. She helped many, many people while she lived. She died early in her 50s as a result of Crohn's disease. But during that time, she touched a lot of lives, not just blind people, and encouraged them that they could still live life in its fullness. But she helped others and was an inspiration to so many. So that was a sense in which she gave thanks for her blindness. Bartimaeus would later give thanks for his blindness. But Bartimaeus' blindness is a picture of the blindness, the darkness, and the needs of a world that rests in desperation, that reels in desperation for help. The need may be physical. It could be mental. It could be emotional or spiritual. It may be some problem with the mind, some desperate loneliness, or some tragic sin. Whatever a person may be facing, this passage spells out some critical steps for getting help. I want you to notice, first of all, we see the desperate situation that blind Bartimaeus found himself in. He was having a typical day in the life of a beggar. He was on beggar's row, and many considered him a public nuisance. It was Passover season, and he knew that pilgrims would be passing through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. He also knew that religious people were more sensitive to the needs of helpless people who had to beg for a living. That was his plight in life. He was in a tough world. He lived entirely on charity. He lived on people's leftovers. He lived depending on the generosity of others to help him out, to help him just to survive, to live from day to day, hand to mouth, day to day. He had possibly heard about Jesus and that his best chance to find Jesus was to place himself at the city limits where Jesus would be passing by as he left the city. Folks, a person will go, should go, where they know Jesus is, where Jesus passes by. A person in desperate need must go where they can hear Jesus, or they may miss the chance of eternal life. Where can people find Jesus today? Where can people find Jesus in this community? Hopefully they can find him right here at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church. But that's not all. Hopefully, if you are a believer, you live in such a way that people can find Jesus simply by looking at your life or talking with you. Where can people find Jesus today? Can they find him in Mount Pisgah Baptist Church? He was having a typical day in the life of a beggar. And he had two things that were against him. First of all, he was blind. His own darkened world compounded his poverty problem. It's bad enough to be poor and out of work, but he was poor, out of work, and blind. No one would have anything to do with him so far as getting him a job. And his name was Bartimaeus. What does that mean, preacher? The prefix to his name, Bar, B-A-R, means the son of his father. It means the son of. His father's name was Timaeus. He had been identified all his life as the son of another. That's Timaeus' son, that blind kid. This was not his real name, but what people had called him all his life. Can you imagine what it was like to being called? That's that blind kid, the son of Timaeus. Can you imagine? He was made to feel insignificant. Wouldn't even call his real name. Made to feel unimportant and useless. Can you imagine the comments that he heard sitting begging every day? Snide remarks. Some even probably blamed his blindness. Hey, wonder what sin he committed to cause him to be blind. Maybe he's just getting what he deserved. People can be kind of cruel that way sometimes, can they not? We can be that way. By the way, he felt like life was just passing him by. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like life was just passing you by? Have you ever felt like that you're on a sideline of life? You know that there's supposed to be more to life than you're experiencing. You know God intends that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I hope you are not like Bartimaeus. His daily goal was simply survival. It was just to stay alive, just to get a little bit to eat and to stay out of everyone's way. Listen, folks, God does not intend for us to merely survive. We are made to be overcomers and more than conquerors. The Bible tells us then, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Bartimaeus was in a desperate situation. He was barely getting by day in life. He was desperate. But I want to ask you something. How desperate are you for a change in your life and in your lifestyle? Is there some disappointment that you're having to deal with? Is there some sin that's hindering you from experiencing life to its fullness that God intends? Is there some hurt that you're having to deal with that you just can't seem to get rid of and get over and turn it loose and let God heal you? How desperate are you to have Jesus come by and you invite him into your situation and to hear him speak words of healing and help to you? Just how desperate are you for a change in your circumstances? Jesus is here. He's in this place. He passes by here every Sunday. But notice something in blind Bartimaeus. Not only do we see his desperate situation, we see his determined response. The Bible says in verse 47, when he heard that Jesus of Nazarene was passing by, began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The first step to getting help is believing the reports about Jesus. He had heard and he cried out. He heard that the great healer was passing by. The one who some people said was the Messiah was passing by and he needed help. He was determined to experience a change in his life. He was desperate. For the Lord to help him in his situation. How desperate are you? You see what Bartimaeus faces, what we face many times. He faced a defining moment in his life. This day perhaps left him feeling a little bit uneasy. There were more people on the road that day than usual. He could hear all the clamor of what was taking place. But it was Passover season, and an unusual anticipation was in the air. There was more excitement from the voices of the people. The crowds really began to swell, and knew something big was happening in Jericho that day. And as he sat by the road begging, a huge crowd came marching in front of him, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth with his disciples was coming. Was that the miracle worker he had heard about? He knew that Jesus had healed blind people before. And so a wonderful thought gripped his mind. Now's my chance. I need to strike while the iron is hot. I need to take every opportunity. This is an opportunity that may not come my way again. This may never be repeated again. This may be the last time. And so I want to have him touch my situation. I want to invite him into my situation. He wanted to take advantage of the contact with Jesus. What about you? Jesus is passing by your situation today. Do you want to take advantage of it? Have you ever faced a defining moment in your life? Have you ever faced a time when the decision you made would alter your life forever? You see, this may be such a moment for you today. The question is, will you cry out to Jesus to change your life situation and trust him to make a difference in the condition of your life and what circumstances you find yourself in? Maybe not of your own choosing. But are you ready to cry out to Jesus and say, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." Bartimaeus began to shout. He might be blind, but there was nothing wrong with his ears or with his vocal cords. He had no sight, but he did have insight. Helen Keller, who was tragically blinded accidentally when she was a small child, used to say, "Better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing." He began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But you'll notice something in verse 48. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Many in the crowd tried to shut him up, but Bartimaeus was desperate, and he was determined and in dead earnest. He would not allow the negativism of the crowd to deter him. He would not be discouraged or silenced or stopped. He kept crying out to Jesus. The point is that he persevered. He had need, and he would not stop seeking to have his need met. His faith in Jesus was really strong. He believed that Jesus could really help him. He didn't complain about the deficiency of his handicap. He did not cry about what he could not do, but he did what he could. He cried out to Jesus, and his voice, his faith, stood out against all the voices of discouragement and against the feelings of so many that it was useless. Folks, listen, perseverance is the answer to desperate need. Sometimes we have to cry out to God over and over again, not because he is not willing to hear, but he wants to see just how desperate we are, how really serious we are about having a change made in our circumstances and in our life. Sometimes he answers just like that, instantly. Sometimes we have to wait because there's a maturing process. There may be some things inside of us that need to be taken out of the way for God to really move in a powerful way in our hearts and lives to dynamically transform our condition, our situation. Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, we don't need to get hung up on what we don't have. Sometimes we get hung up on things we don't have. Well, if I did have this, I could do thus and so. If it weren't for this, I could do that. No, we need to stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to do in spite of these circumstances, in spite of these conditions, in spite of the difficulty of this? What would you have me to do? Lord, I need you. I can't do it on my own. Sometimes we have the attitude, don't need any help, don't need any help. I can handle this thing all by myself. And that's a wrong approach. We get what we want that way, don't we? Get what we ask for. If we don't need any help, we don't get it. He was crying out to God. Bartimaeus was blind. What's your problem? What are you dealing with? That may be a dark spot in your life that you can't handle alone. There are two great principles in overcoming handicaps or problems. First of all, we need to learn to concentrate on our assets. Bartimaeus didn't have a lot, but he did have great hearing and a big mouth. He cried out to Jesus. He heard him. He heard that Jesus was passing by, and so he cried out. Son of David, have mercy on me. The second obstacle, the second principle to help him overcome his handicap. Not only did he concentrate on what he did have, he had to conquer public opinion. Listen, that faces us sometimes too, does it not? He had to go against the crowd. The crowd wanted him to be quiet. He probably heard things like, the master doesn't have time for you, or you'll never amount to anything. Be content with the donations you already have. Be quiet and be thankful for what you already got. You have a handicap or a difficulty to overcome. By the way, every one of us has some kind of hang-up, some kind of difficulty, some kind of problem, some kind of handicap that hinders us many times from coming to Jesus Christ and receiving what he has for us. But we must not allow it to dominate our lives. We need to cry out to him and call out to him, Lord, I need your help. Jesus may be passing your way right now. You may be facing a defining moment right now. There comes a time when you must seize the moment. I pray that you'll have the courage to take the risk and run to Jesus today. In the middle of a great and noisy crowd, Jesus could have been excused for not hearing Bartimaeus. After all, beggars always cry out all the time. But Bartimaeus said the magic word that absolutely froze Jesus in his tracks. Son of David, have mercy on me. What a cry he made. Son of David. He referred to Jesus as the descendant of David who would inherit and fulfill the promises made to David. To be called Son of David suggested the Messiah, the future King of Israel, had come. This title of royalty and respect was remarkably used by Bartimaeus. He confessed in this confession Jesus as the Messiah, the promised one who was to come. Have mercy on me. He was not asserting his rights nor infringing his way upon Jesus. But how in the world can you refuse when someone simply asks for mercy? How can you close your ears when someone is crying out for pity and compassion? How can you not respond when someone is calling out for some kindness, for some sympathy, for understanding, for some leniency and some benevolence? So easy to be suspicious and untrusting with people when so many take advantage of a generous spirit. But that's not the way Jesus works. He doesn't work that way. He is abundant in mercy, the Bible tells us. So Bartimaeus just kept shouting. He could not find Jesus, so he had to shout so Jesus could find him. So many times we quit too soon when we find ourselves in a desperate situation, but not Bartimaeus. And we see the delightful result. He cried out. The cry he made was, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and commanded that the person doing all the shouting to be brought to him. Bartimaeus threw aside his garment and came to Jesus. And notice the question Jesus asked in verse 51. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Even though Jesus knows all things, he wanted Bartimaeus to express his faith. What if he'd asked for money? That's what he usually begged for. But listen, Bartimaeus would have been foolish to have chosen money over salvation and healing. That's the meaning of what is being expressed here. He had a need much greater than his daily food. He had a need of salvation. He had a need of deliverance. He had a need to be able to see. He was blind. What do you want me to do? I want to see. Sad truth is that today people every week are too busy making money to choose Jesus and salvation. What a sight this was. The eternal Son of God asking a blind beggar, what do you want me to do for you? What a Savior. What a servant. Jesus is waiting to ask you that question today. Will you call on him? No matter what your need is, will you call on him? Bartimaeus told Jesus he wanted to be able to see, and Jesus miraculously healed him and said, go your way, your faith has made you well. By the way, that word well in that text is the Greek word sozo, and it means the man was not just healed physically, he was saved spiritually. That's what the word sozo means. Not just physical healing. It means spiritual healing as well. His salvation is indicated by the fact that he followed Jesus on the road. Jesus had told Bartimaeus to go your way, but Bartimaeus did not go. Not after his master had touched him. He clung to Jesus. Nothing was going to pry him away. He followed Jesus in the way. His life was radically transformed. That's the power of the Lord Jesus. That's what Jesus can do. He can do what only Jesus can do. There's no other being, no one of one, who can change a life like Jesus can. There's no one who can change our circumstances like the Lord Jesus can. No one. The story is told two men sitting on a park bench arguing about communism versus Christianity. A homeless person walked by in tattered clothing. The communist looked at the Christian man and said, communism will give that man a new suit. The Christian responded, yeah, but Christianity will put a new man in the suit. He gives us what we need the most. A life worth living and a hope worth having. An eternal home in heaven. Bartimaeus was a new man physically and spiritually. Now he goes down the road following Jesus. How do you suppose God used Bartimaeus? There's a true story of a missionary doctor who performed surgery on a blind man. After the operation, the blind man disappeared. Several days later, he appeared at the doctor's door with a rope in his hand. And holding on to the rope were 10 blind people. He brought to that doctor. I don't know how God used Bartimaeus, but I believe God used him to bring people to Jesus. Isn't that what he's supposed to do with you and me, what he wants to do with you and me? Once I was blind, now I see. I see Jesus for who he is, and so we ought to have a desire to bring people to Jesus, because Jesus can do for him only what Jesus can do. One other thing I want to point out. You ever ask yourself whatever happened to the garment that Bartimaeus flung off as he went to Jesus? We never hear about him going back to get it, do we? Why should he? It symbolized his old life before Christ. Praise God. I once was on beggar's row, but I don't live there anymore. I'm a new man, a new life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Bartimaeus said, I want to see. And what he wanted to see was not more than just physical sight. What God gave to him was not just physical sight. Yes, he gave him that, but he gave him spiritual sight. He was now a new creation in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Listen, sin blinds people to the truth of God's word. And so if you're here today and that sin has blinded you to the truth of God's word, I would challenge you to let Jesus open your eyes to the new life he has in store for you. If you call upon him for deliverance, he will answer and work the miracle, not only of salvation in your life, but he will give you deliverance from whatever is plaguing you, whatever is bothering you, no matter what it is. If we learn to turn it over to Jesus and cry out to him, he has promised never to fail us nor forsake us. He said, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Bartimaeus heard about Jesus and he cried out to him for his great need. I want to see. Listen, folks, God wants you to see too. He wants you to see what he can do if you'll turn your situation over to him. He wants you to see spiritually. He wants you to see Jesus for who he is, your Savior, who came to give his life that you might have it and have it more abundantly. How does that happen? You have to do like Bartimaeus did. You have to call out to him. You're going to have to cry out to Jesus Christ. If you're here and you are without Christ, you never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is God's Son, the Savior of the world. And the Bible says that if you admit that you're a sinner and realize you can't save yourself, and that if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Messiah, he is God's promised Son, the Savior of the world, and if you confess him with your mouth, the Bible says you will be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's a free gift. All of us have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. And all you have to do is to receive it. It's to believe that Jesus died for you and you want him to save you. And if you'll ask him, he'll do exactly that. He'll do for you exactly what he did to Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus said, I want to see. And God gave him physical sight, but he also gave him spiritual sight. He was saved. Maybe you're here and you're dealing with a situation you can't handle. Too big for you, but it's not too big for God. You say, well, it's a small thing, preacher. No matter what it is, how small or how large, God is able. And he will help you with it. But you've got to call on him. Turn it over to him. Whatever decision you need to make, we'd invite you to come today. If it's accept Christ as your personal Savior, you come, I'll pray with you and pray for you. If you're here and you need to have some need that you want to just bring before the Lord, you want to come to the altar and pray. and just turn it over to him. Then I'd invite you to come. There's room at the cross for you, 415, where we're going to be singing. Jesus is inviting us to come to the cross. His blood still cleanses from all sin. And as a Christian, the Bible tells us if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. In the blood of Jesus, God's Son cleanses from all sin. That's for believers. Sometimes we blow it, folks, as believers. God's a forgiving God. He's a God of grace and mercy and love. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Would you respond to that call today?